Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everybody. It's May 12th, 2050. Yeah, look at that. It's almost half over. The month of May is almost half over. It just seems to be flying by. I mean, time isn't moving any faster or any slower than it ever has, but it sure seems like it at times, doesn't it? I was looking at some different news articles and watched a couple this morning and a couple of little videos, and I was taken back by a couple of them, but one, again, not being able to record it because I just watched it, was about a guy and a friend of his from China who was here observing and watching, and he was making some observations about democracy and how it works and why it works. And he said, it's my opinion that democracy doesn't work because, you know, it holds people accountable to all the things and stuff they're supposed to do. He said, I attribute that to the people just doing it. You know, not having cameras making sure you do it like some countries and forcing you, although we're having more and more of that. But he said, it's because most of the people attend some kind of a religious service weekend, whether hearing at that religious service to obey the laws and to live a good life. Now, as Christians, we know what that means. It means to obey God and to be the law of the land, to be godly people, to be righteous, to pursue righteousness, to pursue holiness. And so we go the speed limit because we choose to. You can choose not to, but you make the right choices. And the guy said, if we completely do away with religion, or let's just, for our purposes, for Christianity, just do away with it, he said, you will not be able to, thank you for the coffee, you will not be able to hire enough policemen. Because if people are not getting reinforced, more than just rules and regulations and laws that are passed, if they're not getting reinforced in their life and in their daily life to be able to do what's right, do the right thing, eventually we will do what our nature calls us to do, which is just sin, the evil, because that's what we are. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're sinners by nature. I just kind of want to take a few minutes here and just go over a little something here. It was getting me, and I didn't say anything about it and really talked much about it. It's 12 days now. 12 days after the fight, I think it was 11 days, whatever, between Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. And it was billed as the fight of the century, a boxing match. You may not know about it, but it would kind of be hard not to know a little something about these two boxers. One is an African-American guy, and one is a Filipino, and they're small guys, you know, they're tight, tough little guys, and they're going to fight. And here's what happened. Hundreds of millions of dollars transferred hand to hand between people. Both Manny and Mayweather took home over $100 million apiece. Floyd probably twice that. So Mayweather won. Mayweather did better and blah, blah, blah. He was immediately, I think, sued for $80 million. Manny Pacquiao, I think, is being sued by Mayweather. Well, who knows, because he did this and that. It's just a bunch of junk. But what it ended up being is 45 minutes of fighting, boxing, pugilism, for a lot of people to watch. And they didn't really feel like they got their money's worth. Some people were paying, what did I say it was, honey? $30,000? I think it was $20,000 or $30,000 a ticket to watch a boxing match, and that's insanity. And the people that they interviewed and we saw, the one guy had bought, he bought tickets for him and his buddies, and it was $100,000+. So 20, 40, 60, I think it was five tickets. This was for 20,000, 10,000 pieces. Anyway, and he was really upset. The guy was so out of shape. The guy was, you know, 150, 200, 250 pounds overweight, a big blob. And so some guy that really probably could take some time in the ring with nobody, just with himself dancing around. You know, I was watching two guys, both of them in, you know, really fit shape, pound on each other, and he just didn't get his money's worth. And it was just insanity. It was just, it was so insane. But what you heard was, if you didn't know that, Floyd Mayweather is a wife beater, a domestic violence creep, and then Manny Pacquiao is Christian, truly born again, a guy that loves the Lord. And so they started, that was one of the things. It was like the good guy against the bad guy. The not-so-pay-attention guy, but still a great boxer to the guy. It's just all about it. And it didn't pan out for that. But Michael Brown wrote an article yesterday, and I was going to cover it yesterday, but didn't have the time. I want to cover it now because it really shows us something. And we need to apply this because I was watching... There's another show that's coming on the Lifetime Network called Preach. And it's supposed to be four prophetesses. There's a lot of S's in that, more than there is in Mississippi, I think. Four prophetesses, one white gal, three black gals, and two of the black gals try to look like white gals because they have blonde hair and their makeup's all on. And they're screaming, shouting, knocking people down, doing all this stuff, prophesying, saying this, doing that. It makes a real mockery of it. Of a relationship, a charismatic relationship, you know, a gift-laden relationship with Christ that makes it just into a joke game show thing. We have a lot of malfunctions out there, and people are making decisions and saying, this is this, this is this, and this is this, and they were trying to do it with this. I just brought that up because if you happen to see it, you'll go, what? Preach? That's what I do, you know, and we don't do anything like it shows in that silly, ridiculous show. But there's four lessons to learn, and I'm not going to read everything Michael said. I'm just going to highlight just a couple seconds here that were really great. He said there's four spiritual lessons from the Mayweather fight, and I just wanted to read his intro. He said it's been 10 days since the so-called fight of the century between Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, and many questions remain after the fight. That's what I covered about all the lawsuits and everything. In particular, the condition of Pacquiao's shoulder on fight night. The most important question has not been asked. Namely, what are the spiritual lessons we can learn from this mega-rich fight? Now, see, as people were talking about, he's a Christian, the other guy's not a Christian. You know, Manny's a Christian, maybe there isn't. So he said, these are the four things that we've learned. God is not particularly concerned with the outcome of a sporting event. We need to get to that point. For you Mariners fans out there, really realize that. For you Seahawks fans or you other guys or for some other team, that who knows what other team there is, right? There is this one fella listening, you know, for you Lions fans. I mean, come on, Lions fans. Just because you're from Detroit, you know. God is not particularly concerned with the outcome of a sporting event. We commonly hear athletes thank God after victory, saying that without him, they could not have won, and certainly it's good for them to be humble and give glory to the Lord. There are also times when it appears the Lord may have intervened in a game for the sake of a testimony, as in the case of David Tyree's miraculous catch when the New York Giants defeated the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl in 2008. But it's ludicrous to think that the Lord puts the same priorities on sporting events as we do, as if it really matters which team or person wins. And how many times do you see a spectacular play made by one player on a team who then points upward to the Lord to say, it's all you, Lord, only to have the next play go against his team with the opposing player pointing up to the Lord. So now which side has God on? Well, maybe it's neither. What do you think? Perhaps he doesn't share our idolatrous obsession, as Mike writes, as Michael Brown does, Dr. Michael Brown, perhaps he doesn't share our idolatrous obsession with sports. You think? Which is manifest in our divided hearts and the millions of dollars spent on bets. Perhaps he's more concerned with the lost being saved and with this being healed, perhaps even more concerned with the casualties in Syria and with the cry of a martyr's family in Egypt than with the outcome of a boxing match. What do you think? See, our perspective is off. Our perspective is off. And the second thing he said for the second lesson is God, good generally doesn't triumph over evil in the boxing ring. Because you got a good guy in the ring and you got a bad guy in the ring doesn't mean he's going to triumph. Good is not always going to triumph in the ring. Why? Well, it goes back to what Mike said. God isn't really ultimately super concerned about the outcome of a sporting event. I got a question. If it's true that God is concerned, you say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. What happens when a Muslim boxer defeats a Christian boxer? You might want to think about it. Okay. The third part, the third Christian lesson, or spiritual lesson, as it were, is God's greatest goal is the forming of the character of Christ in our lives. Not your biceps, not your triceps. It's not. It's, are you doing what Jesus has called you to do? I like what Michael said here, because he said it's more important, it is much more important to the Lord, your character, than the outcome of an event or a fight. And as I heard the results of the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight while ministering overseas, I asked myself one question. What does the Lord want to do in Manny's life through this loss? How can he become more like Jesus through it? My hope is that 20 years from now, Manny will be able to say, that was one of the most important lessons of my career, and it helped me grow in the Lord. That'd be awesome, regardless of that, if that's actually what happened. And then we come to the last one, the fourth one. And this is the one that I think really, you know, we need to really look at, especially with sports. I don't know if you've noticed it, and I loved the Seahawks going to the Super Bowl twice. I loved listening and watching them play and seeing the attitude of a lot of the players, not only on the Seahawks, but a lot of the other teams, and watching them, you know, perform, and Christians on both sides, and just the sport itself, and get involved in it, and you'll go Seahawks, all that kind of stuff. But in all reality, it's a game. It is entertainment. It's a multi-billion-dollar business, if you really get down to it. If there was not the dollar amount involved in it, pro football or baseball or any of the sports, really, you would not even probably know about them. Because why would they put them on TV if it doesn't make money? Those people want to make money. They don't pick players that are awesome and outstanding because they would do a great job playing football. It's they can make them money. It's money it's all about. So he says overconfidence kills is another lesson. Pacquiao is known to be a very gracious and humble fighter. He does not trash talk his opponents, and he's not given to boastful pronouncements. That's very cool. Yet, before this fight, he stated that he thought he would knock Mayweather out. By the way, that if you know anything about sports, and especially from boxing, that's almost an impossible task. Hasn't happened, so, you know. But knock him out. And then just a few days before the fight, he told his devoted Filipino followers that God was with him, and he knew he would win. You see, that's an overconfident comment. God's with me, I'm going to win. He lost. So now what we have to do is stop and think. He said, God's with me, I'm going to win. He lost. So now we have to figure that out. Does that mean he was disobedient to God? Does that mean God left him? Does that mean he didn't really hear from God? Does that mean God changed his mind? I mean, it calls a lot of things into question. And it's overconfidence. It's going beyond what is written, as it were. And so Michael Brown goes on to write that he says when he heard that comment, he thought, could it be that he has a false sense of confidence and that he will be humble by the end of the fight? And that's exactly what should have happened. Hopefully we'll be able to hear from Manny someday, and he'll say, boy, oh boy, was I overconfident. You know, that'd be great. I mean, because that'd be a good lesson. But you can learn that lesson without even having to go in the ring with Floyd Mayweather. And by the way, if you, let's say you weigh 190 and you think you're a tough guy or a tough gal, hop in the ring with Floyd Mayweather and just see how tough you think you really are. They're very, very conditioned, very practiced pugilists. They know what they're doing, and they would annihilate an average person. Regardless if they outweighed him by 40, 50 pounds, wouldn't matter. He would be able to punch you more times than you could count before you could even say hello. So even though he's not a good guy, and he does some not good stuff, he's very good at his trade, as it were. But overconfidence on Manny's part, he's a Christian. And maybe this whole thing really for him was a lesson for Manny to calm down in that, to not be overconfident. And it's not about a judgment thing, not judging either one of those guys, although I really, really think that I wished something would have happened to Mayweather to wake him up, and maybe it did, to stop him from being arrogant and proud and loud. But the only one that's really going to do that is Jesus. And that's the same for Manny. The only one that's going to be able to minister to Manny through this is going to be Jesus. It could happen. But there's just some applications for us. So if we just forget about the fight, and go back over those four real quick. God is not particularly concerned with the outcome of a sporting event. He's not. Doesn't care which team wins, which team loses. He cares about you. That we think that a lot of times good will generally triumph over evil, not only in the boxing ring, but in the baseball diamond, and then on the football field, and the soccer field, and the tennis court, and the basketball court. Not necessarily true. In fact, quite often, evil does triumph. And number three is God's greatest goal is the forming of character of Christ in our lives. That is foremost in everything we do. That's what he wants. The forming of the character of Christ in our lives. I read an article this morning of somebody who's really upset about the, quote, Christ followers that are doing jerky things. It's easy to call yourself a Christ follower and not be one. And I would say that most 90% of those people that call themselves Christ followers are nothing more than fans. They're fans. They're fans of Christ. Sometimes good days, sometimes bad days. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. And ultimately, the end of it is this. Overconfidence kills. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He'll direct your path. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He'll direct your path. We need to understand that. I like what, and I'm telling you, Ann Graham Lotz yesterday just went for it. This is actually a couple days ago, she's a combination of her dad and her brother Franklin, and probably her nephew Will. These guys are Billy is a very tender, very gentle guy. Always has been. He's been a firm preacher, but very gentle, and I'm not saying that Franklin isn't gentle. He's a little less gentle. I don't think he's any less loving or less godly, but he's a much more forceful, and he takes on some pretty heavy things, but his sister takes on some things even more heavy. And she believes that we're right on the cusp, right there at the edge, right with, you know, I mean, that Gog and Magog are ready to, you know, get going, and, you know, Russia's ready to come in, and all this stuff's ready to happen. And I like her article that she wrote because this really applies, especially to a couple of situations that are close to me right now. But listen to this. We're supposed to be like Jesus. After I just read to you, that's the ultimate goal, is to have character so we'll be like Jesus. And the scripture that she wrote here was Romans 8:29, whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And then Ann Graham goes on to read that, to write this. But before she does, we get to that, I want to tell you that scripture says a lot in just one scripture. Predestined. It's an interesting word. Now, we could get really hyper-Calvinistic on this, but let's just be what it is. God knows who will do what. Now, I'm not saying you will know or anyone else will know, but God does. God knows every person that will choose Him. God knows every person that will reject him. God knows every person that's evil, that does, that will pursue evil and spend eternity in hell. God knows who they are. We don't. Okay? So remember that. God knows, but we don't. And what does he do? He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, those who claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Do you ever get frustrated reading from Anne's article here? Do you ever get frustrated with the habits of sin in your life? She says, I do. Even though I've been to the cross and received forgiveness for all my sin, I still sin. I don't want to. I try not to. I hate sin, but I still sin. The reality of sin is the single most discouraging, defeating, depressing fact in my life. But I can look forward with hope, because one day, when I get to my Father's house, all of my sinful tendencies, my sinful thoughts, my sinful actions, my sinful words, my sinful feelings, all my sins are going to fall away like a stinking garment that finally drops off and is discarded. What will be left will be the character of Christ that has been developed in me during my life on earth, and I will truly be like Jesus. That's the same for you and the same for me that know him as Lord and Savior. We still have sinful tendencies. We still have sinful thoughts. We still have sinful actions. We still have sinful words and sinful feelings. Do not get caught up in that and let it drive you into the ground and spiral out of control. Every Christian has those. Every Christian has those, but does not need to be dominated by them. And we need to keep in focus that one day, gone. And some of those go before we leave. Maybe you have sinful tendencies that are just rampant, and you watch and you look over a period of a year or 5 years or 10 years or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, you watch those sinful tendencies just slowly dissipate to where they're hardly ever noticed. And you can look back and go, wow, I can see God's hand. That's not me getting better. That's God's hand in my life and me listening to him. But there still remain some thoughts or maybe some actions or a few words now and then or just some feelings. Those will be gone. They will fall off. They're discarded. And all that will be left is a character of Christ that's been developed during your life here on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And you'll finally, truly be like Jesus. Tomorrow is Wednesday, the 13th of May, and we have no idea what it holds at all, including what we're even going to be looking at. But we'll be looking at something that hopefully will encourage you and spur you on to love and good deeds. And hopefully, if you like boxing, you'll still watch some if you want, but you won't put all your eggs in one basket, and you're certainly not going to miss the lessons that you'll see. Don't get overconfident. Trust in the Lord and you'll be blessed. You guys have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.